This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, want you peep the score. Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Wednesday morning to you and yours. April the 7th, 2021. DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. A little Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. Dan Graziano is going to join the show. We have not pinpointed a time yet, but we will get there in the next little bit. It will be at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. Garrett Cole, sensational. Yankees hammered the Orioles last night. Mets with some fortunate runs, some timely hitting, and they beat Philadelphia last night. But Rick has finally come over to my side. Chris, you're not here yet, but Rick made the announcement this morning. He now is with me and hates the Wednesday morning. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. Hope you and Rick are well. Dave, I just don't understand the hatred that you have for the Wednesday. It's unfounded. Like, we were talking about this in the pre-show meeting. I'm with RJ Santillo on this one. It just makes more sense to hate Tuesday, because Tuesday is just kind of like one of those things. It's like, it's not necessarily the best sports night. You're not close to the middle of the week. You can't get on the other side of it. It's just Tuesday is the day that you should hate. I don't understand why you don't like hump day. It makes no sense to me.
It's got no feel. Rick, I mean, you explain. You finally came to my side. Why do you hate the Wednesday as well?
Well, I'm going to point now. I mean, Wednesday, I don't know how you guys feel, because I don't feel great any day I wake up at 2 a.m. I don't feel great. But by Wednesday, like Tuesday, I still have a little bit saved up from the recharge of the weekend. By Wednesday, I'm just
you got nothing.
Shot. I got nothing. Absolutely, especially after Monday, because I decided, I'll do what Dave says and I'll stay up and I'll get 3 hours of sleep, which destroyed me. And I actually turned down sexy time last night for the first time.
And
I swear to God, right hand to God, I promise you, I did.
You're gonna need that right hand soon if you're turning down sexy time. You're telling me that you got the full offer and you said no.
Yes, full offer. I had to turn it down. I had no choice. I had nothing. I had nothing left. Nothing to give. I made an executive decision.
You've never made that decision before.
Never in my life. Not one time.
This is the first time that you said no.
I chose you guys over lovemaking. I said, you know what? I got to get my rest. I need it.
I'm disappointed in you. I don't ever want you to make that decision, bro.
Yeah, that's a tell.
Don't ever. I don't feel comfortable with you saying that you chose us over that.
Show up late to the show. Really, sleep in. Yeah. Take the day. Don't do that. I don't want that on my conscience.
That's a level of discomfort that's right up there with Dave Rothenberg nudity. Like, I don't feel good. I don't feel good about that.
You got to understand, though. I mean, I already got 3 kids. I haven't had the vasectomy yet. Right, so now we're talking about.
Hang on a second. Why, in fact, are you doing this? Are you doing this because you're too tired? Are you doing this because you're looking at the big picture? And don't blame us then if you're looking big picture.
Well, no, I'm not looking big picture. I'm trying to explain to you. I mean, when you're in the process of making babies, I mean, it's just everything take care of itself. You put on the performance, and then when you're done, you roll over and you're through with it. Now all of a sudden, like, we're not doing that. Now this leads to, you know, I got to go jump in the shower. I got to clean. It's a longer process now. And I said to myself, this is going to be at least 7 minutes. I can't afford the 7 minutes.
It's a terrible decision by you.
The Rick DiPietro romantic combine. Yeah. You got a sub 7 minutes.
How are you with the cones?
My 3-cone drill was terrific.
how was your 40?
Oh, man.
Oh, definitely. I got great pocket awareness. I can tell you that.
Oh, I'm sure you
terrific
do.
Terrific pocket awareness.
Well, DeGrom's not stretched out either, so you got that in common with him. All right.
It was too many ups and downs, Dave. Too many up downs.
Oh my God! You are the treat that keeps on giving. I can't believe you said no though. I'm disappointed. I'm shocked. I'm disappointed. I have a whole range of emotions about you saying no.
I had no choice. It was for you. It was for the good of the show. I owe it to you guys.
Do not bring me into you saying no.
Yeah, but I couldn't do another night with the two baseball games going at the same time. I have to stay downstairs so I can watch both games. So I'm going to bed a little bit later. Now all of a sudden, it was like just out of nowhere. She's like, "Let's get this thing going." I'm like, "Cass, I'm an every night naked guy." Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't. I can't do it. I don't have it in me.
Now, how is that received? Because if you've never said no, I imagine this is like uncharted territory that Cassie now has to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know how it went over. I'll find out this morning. She didn't seem pleased last night. She did not seem pleased.
Yeah, just
from my experience,
I don't think that's going to be a good thing, Rico. There's going to be a whole host of questions that come along with that.
Could be a lot of repercussions from this.
It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, bro. Like, I feel bad. That was a grave miscalculation.
Yeah, terrible decision.
Yeah. And then they try to throw us in there.
I went with my initial instinct, and I said, I can't do it. I don't have it. I said, listen, you got to know your limitations. I said, Cass, I can't do it tonight. I can't.
Please tell me you didn't say, like, Cass, I'm sorry for Rick and Chris, for Dave and Chris, I'm not going to do this. Please tell me that wasn't said.
Yeah, don't make us the fall guys. Don't make us the fall guys.
Great.
I said, the guys deserve my best, Cass. I can't. I need the rest.
And when did that happen? That'd be great. Let me know when that's going to happen. That'd be today at some point.
You're such a bad guy. I don't understand. You start the show taking shots at me. Your open is taking shots at me. You just went the last 6 minutes taking shots at me.
I didn't take shots at you. I took one shot at you. You bypassing on sexy time is not me taking a shot at you.
What do you mean? That was just a shot. That was a blatant shot you just took.
That shot of when do we get everything you have was a shot. Other than that, I've taken no shots at you. How did I open the show, Chris, taking a shot at him?
This is the Wednesday.
You didn't take a shot at him. You just said that he came alongside you with hating the Wednesday. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact of matter. That's what he said.
Now, don't take his side, Canty. He says the Wednesday on purpose. That's to mock me after my failed Thursday open.
That's tomorrow. You're doing the open tomorrow again, aren't you?
No, I am not. One time.
It's not
the
Wednesday that Dave hates.
It is the Thursday. Oh, God, it sounds worse every time I hear
great.
It.
It's great. It's great.
So bad.
It's so good.
It's radio
it
gold.
Really so, so terrific. All right, so I got to tell you, benefit of the doubt, I'm usually that guy. Start of the season, brand new. We're two games in, and already I can't deal with this Mets bullpen. I don't know that I like. Like, I had so many moments last night where I was like, I don't know that I like Rojas. I don't know that I could deal with the bullpen. I'm having a breakdown with the Mets early on this season. So I don't know if you guys see this or feel like this at all, but I'm already uncomfortable with this bullpen.
Yeah, but I don't know how you criticize Rojas. That's another. I mean, you just add that to the list of things that I currently don't like about baseball. Like the fact that
you think the decision is coming from non-Rojas people.
No, I mean, you heard him after DeGrom's start too. I mean, he's consulting everybody as to what to do with Jacob DeGrom. Having too many up downs. I mean, you get Don losing his mind yesterday with the rant because he's invested his entire life in the sport and now he can't stand it. I don't know, man. There's so many things about baseball. And last night, you say the Mets bullpen. It's the same guys you saw in the first game.
But why? Why in a 5-run lead am I getting Castro and Trevor May again?
Well, that was the interesting part too. Is that you know who's terrible for Mets managers, and he's great because I love the broadcast. Gary Cohen is awful for Mets managers, because he'll give you exactly what he's thinking, and it, like, as a fan, you're watching the TV and you're like, that's a great point, Gary. Why the hell why do we have Trevor May and Jeurys Familia up at the same time? It doesn't make any sense. Like, Trevor May was brutal in the first game, threw 22 pitches. Like, why is he back up? Like, what are we trying to prove here? Like, don't you think you should get the other guys in your bullpen? You have a wide enough lead where could we see maybe someone else?
Can we see Familia? Can we see Betances?
I'm going to need that clipped. RJ, him saying, can we see Familia? I'm going to need that clipped. So when he loses his mind and says he hates Familia,
yeah,
I'm going to need that.
Exactly. Said no Mets fan ever.
You should be able to bring in anybody in a 5-run game, Chris. You should be able to bring in anybody needing 6 outs in a 5-run game and close it down. No?
Dave, if the Mets bullpen has proven anything over the course of the last 3 or 4 years, is that no lead is safe, especially when you got Familia on the mound. So, yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You should be able to put your bullpen in there, and regardless of which reliever you choose, you should feel comfortable knowing that you secure that game because, I mean, you got 8 runs on the board. But the reality is that every time this bullpen goes out there, it's going to be an adventure, man. And I get the I get the logic behind putting Trevor May back out there because you're trying to find a soft spot for him to land and try to build some confidence up. But at the same time, you should make sure that you have a big picture of this thing and try to get some other arms worked in there, just because there was such a long layoff between when you thought you were going to start the season and when your guys were actually going to get some work. So I kind of understand the decision that Rojas made last night. I just don't agree with it. But again, to Rick's point, it's not a Rojas decision. This is an organizational decision.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand. Is you got David Peterson on the mound tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and you know you're going to need a lot of bullpen tonight.
Exactly right. So now, in a 6-1 game, rather than going to, I mean, you have a 5-run lead, right? You go to Gesellman or whoever you decide to go to, but you go back to Castro. So now again, Castro's pitched two.
So he's off today. He's not pitching.
He's unavailable.
Trevor May is now unavailable. And now you've basically have told me I don't trust any of these other guys, but those are going to be the guys I have to go with today when I need them.
Exactly right. Unless the mindset was, because I was thinking the same thing last night watching the game, was after you blew the Jacob deGrom start and you lost that game, you needed to win last night because you're going to see Nola this afternoon. And Nola's a stud.
Mm-hmm.
So you could not afford to blow last night's game.
But you had
But if you're telling me that the bullpen is a five-run lead in the eighth inning. But Dave, that's the point, though. If you're telling me that you feel good about your bullpen and it's a much improved bullpen, you should feel comfortable with the, I mean, going into the seventh inning with a 6-1 lead. Like, I got to go back to Castro with a 6-1 lead?
I will never understand it. And you want to say you don't want to blame Rojas? You know what? Fine. I can get on board with that commentary. But I cannot deal with, I mean, you're getting Castro up. He comes in now. Now he's unavailable. Trevor May, he comes in. He struggles again, I thought. I didn't think he was great by any stretch.
No.
Now he's unavailable. I mean, I'm 2 games in. I'm 2 games in, and already it's like, oh, my God, it's the same thing with this bullpen.
Well, Dave, look at the glass half full, though. At least you got a quality start from Marcus Stroman. I thought he was awesome last night, 13 ground ball outs. I mean, he had it all working last night. So that's a good step in the right direction, because that was a huge question mark coming into this year. Like, was Marcus Stroman going to be able to elevate and be that true number two? And, you know, a lot of Mets fans were on the fence about that. So the fact that he did have a good outing for his first start of the season, that's something that makes you feel good going forward. And you also know there are a few questions in this rotation, especially when you get to the back half of it. So having that solid 1-2 punch at the top, that makes a lot of Mets fans feel good. And then the other thing is, they finally made the right decision. They had Don Smith in the starting lineup, and he rewarded you with that 2-run shot in the fourth. So, I mean, it's not all bad, but again,
right,
we come back to that bullpen being a serious question mark, and that's one of the things that's going to make Mets fans feel uneasy the entire year.
No, you're 100% right, Rick. I mean, you've seen a lot of good things. I mean, the home run from Dom Smith, Conforto got a hit last night. The starting pitching has been great. The ground was great. Stroman was great. But I think this is what we do. I think human nature is when something is great and something is awful, you focus on the awful concerning thing. And I think that's what we're doing here with the Mets, or at least I am.
Well, I don't know how you don't, right? I mean, this was your biggest fear going into the season. Like, if there was one thing that was going to trip this team up, it was going to be their bullpen. And we've seen that. I mean, when you look at what this team did last season, I mean, offensively, they were one of the best teams in baseball offensively. But too many times you get into situations where your bullpen blows, especially Jacob deGrom starts. And it's frustrating because you realize how closely contested this division is going to be. Right? Like, that's the biggest thing, is you can't afford to give these games away. Like, you're playing a team in the NL East. And it's going to be, you're going to be fighting tooth and nail to the very end to either try to win this division or get a wild card. So you can't afford to have a game where Jacob deGrom pitches lights out and you blow it. Like, at some point, like, that needs to be fixed, especially in a kind of season like this where you're going from 60 games to 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of innings to cover. And if they're going to have kids' gloves with their starting pitching, they're not going to give you the kind of length that you need. They're going to put a lot of stress in your bullpen.
It's so weird to me, and we'll take a break in a second, but it's so weird to me because, you know, DeGrom, they're terrified, 77 pitches. But a new arm like Trevor May, who you're going to count on this year, and Castro, you're going to count on, you know what, guys, go. 2 games in a row, no problem. Warm up, get down, warm up again, go in there, pitch, 20-plus pitches for Trevor May, 2 consecutive days. They're not concerned about that? Well, it's only DeGrom they're worried about?
Yeah, but to Chris's point, I could imagine that, you know, Trevor May was not happy with how his debut as a Met went.
I'm sure he wasn't.
He probably couldn't wait to get back in to kind of prove to everyone that, you know, he was more than capable of doing the job. And you're right. He was not good again last night. I mean,
no.
he got through it, but he wasn't good at all by any means.
No, by any stretch.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Garrett Cole from last night, and Chris, I mean, that's two in a row now, where it's feet up and just relaxing and domination and just wonderful performances from your Yankees.
No, it wasn't feet up in the first inning, Dave. I mean, it was touch and go for Garrett Cole, and I guess for the O's pitcher, Kramer, too. But, I mean, I was a little bit worried, man. I mean, he had to right himself. I mean, Cedric Mullins gets on base, and he steals second, and then Garrett Cole spikes one in the dirt and gets him to third. But, I mean, he finds a way to be able to get out of that inning and strike out to Mancini. He gets Santana to ground into a fielder's choice, and I thought Jay Bruce made an awesome play, and then he gets a pop-up to get out of the inning. But, I mean, once he got out of that first inning, he was absolutely dominant. He had all his pitches working, Dave, and it's clear that him and Higashioka got something special. I mean, because he was ringing guys up, 13 strikeouts, and it really didn't feel like he was getting overextended with his pitch count, too. It felt like he was economical with it. So, I mean, I thought it was a phenomenal outing by Garrett Cole, but I wouldn't expect anything less against the Yankees, especially against the Orioles in Yankee Stadium, because I think they've won, 12 straight at home against the O's. So that's business as usual as far as I'm concerned.
Could you imagine if Canty was a Mets fan, Dave?
Touch and go?
that first inning wasn't sketchy?
Sketchy? That guy, a guy reached third base.
It would have been one run.
I know, Rico, but I'm just saying it
and then
didn't
you guys
start out
the
way that
the
you were looking for.
Inning.
He didn't look great. He didn't look like he was going to have a 13-strikeout night in that first inning.
Touch and go.
He'd be if God forbid he was a Mets fan, he couldn't watch games. He'd be a wreck.
He'd be under like suicide watch. They'd have a team of nurses surrounding him. What's Canty doing now? here comes Familia. It's going to be touch and go for a while, people. Right?
Oh, listen. If I was
get the IV ready.
If Familia was on my team, I would turn the television off when he took the mound. Period.
Touch me,
is that
go.
Bad? Oh,
he was great last night.
Now, Garrett Cole is dominant. Here's a real question, though, Dave. Who do you take? You get to choose one or the other. Cole or DeGrom?
DeGrom. And
I
you
think
know
I
what?
Still do, too.
Yeah, and you know what? I think Chris does also. I think. Chris, you
it's
agree
not
with
even,
that,
It's
right?
not even a question, Dave. It's not even a question. It's not close. Not in my mind.
Yeah, the I mean, you legitimately, and this is not even hyperbole, you could have the best two pitchers in baseball playing in the same market.
They probably do, right? I mean, who else are we throwing in there? Walker Buehler's great, but I don't know that he's there now. Bieber?
Bieber won the Cy Young. I don't think he's as good as Garrett Cole.
Bauer?
Trevor Bauer had a really good first start. Nola?
I mean, Darvish? And I'm not saying I believe these guys. I'm just throwing out the Darvish? Snell? Not for me.
No.
It's DeGrom and Cole.
Giolito's good.
Very good.
Giolito is really good.
No, but I mean, if you had your choice, like if you had the first overall pick in a draft and you were going to take a pitcher, I think it would be one of those two.
I think it would be DeGrom.
Yeah,
I think it would be DeGrom would be one and Cole would be two. I think they are the best two pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, but you say that with such certainty. And maybe it's just because we watch these guys every start.
I feel like that.
I do too. But I mean, again, remember when I asked Buster the question? I mean, when you look at where they ranked in the ESPN top 100, they have Cole ranked ahead of DeGrom.
I don't know how.
Well, American League, I guess he's going up against the DH. I don't know either because I would pick DeGrom, but it's close. I mean, some people would prefer Garrett Cole, but it's close. Jacob DeGrom just keeps getting. I mean, it seems like every year he just gets better. His velocity gets
unbelievable.
Better.
Unbelievable. He is unbelievable. Listen, being the second best pitcher in a sport is not a knock on Garrett Cole. He's a phenomenal pitcher. Sensational. I just think right now as we sit here that Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher. And maybe it's wrong, and maybe it's because I watch him all the time, but I watch Cole all the time too. I think it's hands down. Like, in my opinion, and Chris, you said the same thing. I think it is clearly Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, in my mind, there's no question about it. I mean, Jacob DeGrom over the last, what we call it, 3 years, I mean, he's been so dominant. I mean, and think about it. He doesn't have the margin for error that Garrett Cole has had pitching for the Astros and pitching for the Yankees. So, I mean, when you factor that in and then you also look at the contracts, I don't think there's any question in my mind who I'd rather have. It's Jacob DeGrom. And right now he's at the height of his powers. And, guys, I keep waiting for him to fall off. And it feels like each and every year he's only getting better. I don't understand how he continues to improve his velocity, how he continues to to get better when you're already the best pitcher in the sport. But, I mean, this guy's a machine.
The only good thing that Brody Van Wagenen did this time with the
getting
Mets.
That contract done. No question.
That was it.
I can't stand Brody Van Wagenen. I really. Like, every time I think about all the things that he did and all the missteps he had, it's just you forget about this one and this one and this one and brought Familia back. And why would you bring Familia back?
I have no idea. I mean, you're asking me questions I can't answer.
I'm sorry.
I mean, that was not that we did not want Jarrett Familia back. No.
Made no sense. When he left, we're like, all right, whew, that's done. Well, let's bring him back. All right. So let's hear from Gerrit Cole, the second best pitcher in all of baseball. And I wonder if the Yankees fan, here would be my question to the Yankees fan, because Chris, you're honest and I think you see it appropriately. Do you think the Yankees fan looks at this thing and says, yes, Cole is great. We love him. Big moment. We trust him. But DeGrom is better. Or if the Yankees fan thinks that they, in fact, have the best pitcher in all of baseball. 800-919-3776. Here is Gerrit Cole on his outing against the Baltimore Orioles.
I thought that we played good. I thought Jay made a great play in the first to kind of, you know, cut the momentum down there. I mean, one probably doesn't kill us, but, you know, it was nice to get out of there unscathed. Bit fortunate. And then I thought that we just kept him off balance and made a lot of good pitches, you know, came in the zone, I think, sometimes when they weren't expecting and, you know, got him to chase off of, you know, good pitches, you know, back to back.
So he's basically saying the Orioles stink. Is what I gathered from that.
Well, no, but I think it's one of those starts, too. I mean, we always, whenever we have someone, you know, we have Ron Darling on or we have a former pitcher on, I mean, they've always said that during the course of the season, you have 32 starts. There'll be, you know, 10 of the 32 where you have.
Well, you're masterful, yep.
Yeah, but then that's what he had last night, and he took advantage of
brilliant.
It. I don't know how you hit him, though. I mean, when he has all four pitches going, I honestly don't know how.
I don't think you do.
And you can get to 101 with your fastball. I don't know how. Mm. I mean, I couldn't even imagine.
I mean, that's why the old adage is what? Great pitching beats great hitting? It does. You can have Mike Trout come to bat every single time, but if you have Cole from last night or DeGrom from two nights ago, the pitching's going to win that battle.
I mean, the best thing you can do is try to put together good at-bats, everybody in the lineup, foul off a bunch of pitches, run up his pitch count, and try to get him out of the game. Like, when they're like that, that's the best thing that you can do. I mean, it's what Bryce Harper said about facing Jacob DeGrom. Like, that has to be your approach. And if you get him out of there in the sixth inning, then maybe you got a shot against the bullpen. But when Gerrit Cole is locked in like he was last night, good luck with that.
Yeah, when your game plan is, if we can run up his pitch count, we have a chance. If he leaves the game early, you know that the guy is dominant. Let's go to Al in Holbrook. Al, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, fellas?
Good morning. What's going on, Al?
I'm a diehard Yankee fan. Been a Yankee fan for like 35-plus years. Gerrit Cole is the good. However, Jacob DeGrom, and it pains me to say it, is the best pitcher in baseball for 3-4 years running. I can't imagine what his record would be like if he had some kind of run support. Through all of no decisions, some one-run game, I can't imagine if he pitched for the Astros or for the Yankees, for that matter, for those last, like, 4 years or so, what his record would be.
I really think, and thanks for the call, Al, if he pitched for the Yankees, he'd win 23 games a year.
Which doesn't really even matter. I mean, that stat doesn't really matter in baseball anymore. But, I mean, to his point, I mean, since 2018, Jacob DeGrom's ERA is 2.07. And the Mets are 36-41.
I don't understand how that's even physically possible.
It's not. It shouldn't be. It's almost like there's something like it's in their heads now. When he pitches, they just can't, for some reason.
Can't score runs?
They can't score runs or close out games.
But Chris is right. Like think about, and when we compare the two, talk about high-leverage situations. When was the last time DeGrom had a run support like Cole had last night? It doesn't happen.
Yeah, February. That's when it happened. It doesn't happen.
Well, just think about it. I mean, they scored two runs for him. He drove in one of the two runs.
I know.
Exactly.
How many times have we seen that, though?
A lot.
They score three and he drives in two, or he gets a couple of hits, or he drives in a run. I mean, it happens a lot with the Mets and their pitchers, and especially DeGrom.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Subluxation. Is that a dislocation of the shoulder for Tatis Jr.?
Yes.
So there's a chance that he's going to be out for a long time.
No, I mean, they're going to try to rehab it. I mean, the thing with that is it goes out and then it pops back in. So for a second, it'll pop out and then it'll pop itself back in. The problem with that is you can tear
ligaments.
Yeah, labrum.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like he did. So he partially tore his labrum.
Mm. So that's not good.
Well, it's not good. I mean, ultimately, you'll need surgery to fix that. But they're gonna, from the way it sounds, they're gonna try to rehab it, and then hopefully let him get back and finish the season.
Ugh, so
we had a defenseman like that who for some reason, I don't know, he just had naturally, like, he had, like, his shoulder ligaments were, like, really loose. So there'd be times during the game where you just, like, he'd get hit and you'd see his whole arm kind of droop and he'd skate back to the bench and his shoulder would be dislocated.
Ugh.
And they'd pop it back in and then he'd go back out in his next shift. Crazy.
Hockey players are really different level.
I heard that hurts like hell. Never happened to me, but I heard that is some kind of painful.
Oh, yeah. He said it was that. I mean, you could just, like, to pop it back in, you could just see, you saw his face. He's like in so much pain, but then you just bounce back and go back and play again.
That's hockey crazy. Players for you. All right. So Mets get the win. Steve Cohen on Twitter. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, Luis Rojas saying the game ball is going to go to new Mets owner Steve Cohen.
I want to present something. So this is the baseball from the last out of the game, cut by Alvaro Almora in center. I just want to say congratulations to our owner Steve Cohen. This his first win as our owner, first of many to come. You know. So, you know, we're going to take this to Citi Field and hand it to him. I think, you know, you always remember that first win for sure. So we're taking it to Citi Field to give it to him and on Thursday. All right. So here it is. Congrats, Steve.
All right. Well, I don't know if he was ever going to stop talking there, but there you have it. Did he call him Alvaro Almora, by the way?
He was having a hard time with it, yeah.
Right. That wasn't me, right? He doesn't know the name of his center fielder.
Oh, and you have your nose up your owner's butt. It's tough to speak. I mean, I wouldn't imagine,
much, wasn't it?
Yeah, but could you imagine though? I mean, I don't know what the deal with it is, but if I owned a sports team and it was my first year on the sports team, I couldn't imagine not being at the first series.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. The only thing I'll say is, I mean, we are in the middle of a pandemic, right? So if the guy's not comfortable going out there, I think you have to cut him some slack. No.
Well, no, I'm not saying listen, I have no one way or the other. I could care less if he's at the series or not. I'm just saying, me personally. I mean, you're not talking about a guy, you know, jumping on a commercial flight to get down to Philly.
Right. I'm sure he goes in a limousine with nobody else and can be escorted into the stadium and not have anybody anywhere near him.
Just let me put this into perspective for you. So I got a phone call from Charles one day. He's like, what are you doing? I said, nothing. I'm just hanging out. He goes, you want to go to the Bridgeport game? I said, yeah, absolutely. What time do we have to leave? It's going to take, I mean, I've done that ride before. It takes a minute. He goes, oh, we're not driving. I said, where do you want me to meet you? He goes, meet me at the airport.
You took a chopper?
He flew the jet. No, not even a chopper. He flew the jet from Farmingdale to Bridgeport.
It was a 15-minute flight.
I could use my cell phone, Chris. We never got high enough where my cell phone stopped working. It was, we got in the plane, we went up, and then we landed.
That's the way it is for those guys, huh?
Hide the money, y'all! There's
yeah, I was like, it's
going to
take
around.
Us. I was like, I've driven that before. It's probably going to take us with traffic. Could get, I mean, at least, you know, at least two and a half hours. He's like, 2.5 hours?
He goes, he's probably thinking like, oh, that's cute. That's rich, Rick.
Yeah, yeah, that's
funny.
2.5 hours. No, we're going to take the plane.
You're there in nine minutes,
it.
Pal.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I think it takes like 15, 20 minutes.
I'm sure. All right, so I like Steve Cohen. I want to like Steve Cohen, and I think he's going to spend a lot of money and make this team very successful for a very long time. Some of the tweets, I almost feel like he's tweaking and trying to upset the Mets fan. Nothing about that game, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, was anything about that game easy last night? Did you ever feel like, all right, this is a cakewalk and this is easy?
No, there were times it felt, yeah, I mean, there were times that it felt, like when Stroman was pitching, I felt pretty good about it.
Sure, he was great. But there were also moments late in the game where you're like, oh, come on, another ball here and bases loaded and a hit. And like, you had your
tight.
Concerns.
Pete Alonso, Pete Alonso makes that great, great defensive play.
He's been good defensively, huh?
Yeah, he has. But no, you're right. I mean, just in the grand scheme of things, any Mets fan watching that game, knowing at some point you're going to see the bullpen again, it did not feel... There was not a point in that game where it was like, okay, I'm going to put my feet up and just relax. I was still a little bit
nervous. Come on, Rico. After the top of the seventh, you didn't feel that way?
Ugh. No, because I saw who was coming in.
Ugh.
He knew. We all knew. So here's what Steve, I don't know if you guys saw it. Steve Cohen tweets, see, that was easy. Why would he put
he's
something
trying to
like
be
that
funny.
Out there?
Because he's trying to be funny. He's trying to play the Twitter game.
But here's what's going to happen. He's going to try to be cute and funny and adorable at the wrong time, and the Mets fan is going to become livid about it.
But the Mets fan will always forgive him, though, just because they know he's willing to open up the checkbook and be able to bring on the best talent, which is a huge change from what prior ownership was accustomed to doing. Like he can outspend any mistakes that he has on social media. And that's why Mets fans will always appreciate him. Like that's the thing, Dave. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, he's opening the door for a whole lot of criticism. But, I mean, because he's so rich, it's not going to matter. Because he's willing to go out there and spend for top-notch talent. That's all Mets fans want.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It's a valid point you bring up. But I mean, you know, I could just see him after a loss being like, all right, guys, don't worry. It's not that big a deal. We'll get back at it tomorrow. And Mets Twitter sphere exploding and just freaking out.
Yeah, but it's not just him. I mean, that's the risk you run, period, when you put yourself out there. I mean, that would have been one of the concerns if the Mets had signed Trevor Bauer with how active he is on social media.
Absolutely. But how many owners do this?
I can't remember. I mean, outside of Woody Johnson posting clips of highlights from years and years past. I mean, no, this is he's trying to. I think what rubs you the wrong way is he's trying to play the game on Twitter. Like, he's trying to be like that. That was meant to be like a funny tweet, which is not. I mean, for a Mets fan, it's not that funny.
See, I don't think it's funny.
No, I know, and you wanted to tweet him, but you don't have the. You don't have what it takes to do it.
I'm a little frustrated with him. I didn't want to tweet him, though.
Oh, you didn't say before the show that you had a tweet you wanted to send him?
No, I didn't say that. I said I'm annoyed, and I said he should stop doing this, but I didn't say that. Was Santiago. I said, well, why don't you tweet him? I see what you guys are trying to do. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to have me tweet Steve Cohen, and then I'm the bad guy, and now he hates me, and now he hates the show, and now he'll never, ever possibly come on the station or the show, and no, I'm not doing that. I'm not following.
Hey, what's the worst that could happen? That we won't get a Mets guest? Which would be different than when?
Yeah, listen, maybe the Mets locker room learned their lesson after they're seeing the start that Trevor May is getting out to.
Uh-oh.
Don't stand up DCR.
I love that.
Yeah, but he's another one, too. I mean, he's another one that's active on Twitch. And
oh, he loves it. He loves social media. He's a big Twitch guy, isn't he?
Yeah, huge. But again, a fan wants to believe that all you do during a season is eat, sleep, think about your sport, whatever.
Don has committed his whole life to baseball.
His whole life.
Yes.
And now you can take the analytics and shove them right up, jam them right up. If they did that, though, where would they put the thermometer, Dave? That's the issue.
Well,
now how do you take your temperature?
I am thermometer boy right now.
It's a great question. It's not something I've ever thought of.
Jam it up!
The drawing board and figure it out.
He's getting... These rants, I'm telling you right now, are getting more and more aggressive.
Jam it up!
You're going to sniff them dead, and now we got jam... Let's play the... Just RJ, you got to do me a favor. Just play this rant, because I really like it.
So Marco's not old enough to watch the game with me and understand. How do you explain to a 12-year-old why Jacob DeGrom's coming out of the game after 77 pitches? 77! And don't lie to me after the game. Well, he hadn't pitched in 10 days. It was during the game they said he's good for 90 to 100, and he doesn't come out for the seventh inning? Well, what's going on here? I want to enjoy the sport. I never saw a sport shoot itself in the foot, but I'm watching the Mets because that's my team, and I'm enjoying Jacob DeGrom pitch, and he took him away from me. For what? We're preparing for the World Series? Can we get out of April? Can we win a game? I'm preparing my pitcher for the long haul. Oh, Donnie's got to be ready for the postseason. Can we get there? Can we get to the All-Star break? For God's sakes, can we get through the first game of the season? I'm enjoying myself. I want to watch a game. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and you took him from me. I'm supposed to enjoy the sport and have some fun. What's fun about that? What other sport does that? Zibanejad could go out there and score 6 goals tonight. You think they're taking him off the ice in the third period to stop from scoring 7? Because there's an important game coming up on Thursday. We don't want to wear him out. Did they pull Kyrie last night when he's going for 40 points? Hey, listen, it's the Knicks. We got bigger fish to fry. Let him play. It's the entertainment business, people. Why in God's name would a 12-year-old kid sitting with his dad enjoy that? Why is that fun? Falling out of love with the sport. Falling out of love. I got too much else going on in my life. I try to invest to watch the best pitcher in baseball, and you took him from me. And in my eyes, for no reason. Zero. Take your analytics and shove them right up your rectum. Right up your... Jam it up! I'm tired of it.
And that was at, like, the beginning of the show. Then he had 4 hours of radio to do after that.
Jam it up!
Jam it up there.
Jam it right up there. Oh, my God, Don. See, here's the thing. when he's saying it, I kind of agree with him, but I think you have to think big picture. It stinks. But by putting Zibanejad out there for an extra shift in the third period, your thought is not he's going to get hurt or he's going to have too much mileage for his next start. I think your thought process is, and you see it all over the place. You see with every pitcher, I understand you want to see more of him. It didn't bother me like it did Don. I know a lot of Mets fans were horrified like Don was. I didn't feel the same way.
Oh, I think it bothered you a little bit. I think you can understand a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think you can understand. But again,
I understand his point, but I don't feel the same way. I don't feel as passionately as he does about that.
But here's the reality, though. It's happening in every sport. It's not just with pitchers in baseball. I mean, it happened. I mean, Don's a huge hockey guy. They're doing it with goalies now too. You're playing a condensed season. I mean, back when I played, which was not that long ago, like, I mean, the starting goalie would play every night unless you said something like you didn't feel great. Like Martin Brodeur, you could pencil him in. He wanted to play all 82. Now it's like, okay, we got back-to-back games. God forbid we have a goalie play back-to-back games. So we have, you know, we have a 1A and a 1B. Or like running backs. Like we'll do running back by committee. It's happening in every sport. You got load maintenance in the NBA.
Look at the NBA. I mean, how many nights has a guy just, well, I'm not going to play. Why? I need the night off. Why? I just want the night off, right? That didn't used to be like that.
Would you guys please send a memo to football, by the way? I think that's the one sport that you don't see it in football.
Because, Chris, every game matters that much.
Well, you guys got it in preseason now. They're giving you a little taste of the preseason.
Thank you for that. Preseason. Thank you. Appreciate that. Nobody cares about it.
We're not going to give you load management. We're going to add another regular season game.
We're going to add games.
That's right.
We're not going to give you another bye week. We're not expanding the rosters, but we are going to tack on one more regular season game.
That's right. And if you're the 2 seed in the postseason, you get an extra game and you don't get the bye as well.
But you know what? You don't have to worry about showing up in the offseason. We're going to do that virtual. There you go. That's your break.
That's your load management.
Where
was the sound of Don saying, like, I've committed my whole life to baseball? Like, he's Bill James, right?
That's my favorite. That was my favorite part.
I love that part, too. I've committed my whole life to this game. he's a treat, huh?
He's like Clint Eastwood in that movie. What is it? Trouble with the Curve?
Oh, yeah.
Scout forever.
Yeah. Like, he's on the road, driving 460 miles from El Paso to San Antonio from 3 to 9 in the morning.
He's scouting the Cape Cod leagues.
Get off my lawn.
But he can't see him. He can only hear him, Rico.
Exactly
can't
right.
See it, though. Can't see it.
I've committed my life to this sport.
Oh, my God. I'm a fan. I've committed my entire life to this game.
He does two innings of play-by-play, and all of a sudden he's committed his entire life to this sport.
Do you know the time and effort I've committed to this game? I never married. I've had no children. I've been on the road nonstop. I haven't seen my parents in 11 years. Why? I've committed my whole life to this game of baseball. Like he's Sparky Anderson.
Oh, my gosh.
What have you done, Tony La Russa? Nothing.
Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base about Cole. I mean, definitely DeGrom and Cole are the best pitchers in baseball, but that's about another thing, too. They definitely treat these players and athletes with kid gloves nowadays with the load management. I remember a couple years ago when...
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Well, it's because you have so much money invested in them now.
Uh-oh.
And on top of the fact that these guys don't take any time off. But this sounds crazy when you say it, but it's the truth. They're almost in too good a shape. Where they wear down.
Well, do you think that there never were injuries like this in the past? Or do you think that they just didn't know and they just pitched through it or played through it and it wasn't even brought up?
No, I'm sure there were injuries that they played through. But I think it's also, too, if you would have talked to, you name the player that played, I don't care what sport, kind of back in the day. Like, I use Billy Smith, for example. One of the greatest postseason goalies in the history of the sport, right? Like, he was my goalie coach. And besides, like, asking me, did I ever tell you the story about Billy Smith getting mad at me because I took too much time after the game?
Oh, boy, what happened?
No, you didn't tell us that story.
Smitty was the best.
We need some kind of, like, sound, or it's like, all right, story time with Rick, and then we just get into it. But go ahead.
Okay, so Smitty was the best. So he used to always get mad at me because he'd be like, what takes you so long after games to get out of the locker room? I'm like, well, we get done, and, you know, sometimes we have a workout. I got to, you know, do my maintenance stuff. We got to take a cold tub, ice, or whatever it is. I got to do my media stuff, and then I'm out of there. He goes, it takes you an hour and a half. He said, But it took me 20 minutes to get undressed. By the time you get out of the locker room, I've already had six beers. Like, it takes you that long. He goes, this is what I want you to do. Because at this time, we would go over to the Marriott, to Champions over there to have a bite to eat because it was open still. So he goes, this is what I want you to do. Next game, I want you to do whatever it takes. I want you to get out of the locker room as fast as humanly possible. I want you to meet me over at Champions. So game gets over. I get in the locker room. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm getting undressed. I do my media quick.
You
my
forgot ice. Something. Would you have shampoo in your head or something?
I jump in. No. This isn't better than that. So I jump in the shower. I'm out. Get over to Champions. And now I'm looking for Smitty. I look over to my left. I see him. He's over at the bar. He waves me over. He's like, he's looking at his watch. He's like, what? That wasn't that quick. I was like, Smitty, I'm telling you, that's as quick as I can go. He goes, quick. He goes, how many beers do you think I've had already? And I said, I don't know. I mean, it's only been, I don't know, an hour.
An hour?
Maybe an hour. Not even an hour. But I still have to walk and everything else. Maybe not even an hour. But you got to take goalie equipment off and everything else. It's not that, by nature, it's not that quick. Like, I don't know how he got undressed. Unless he wore his clothes under his equipment. I don't understand how he got undressed that. So he says, how many beers do you think I've had already? I said, I don't know, Smitty. It's been an hour, a little bit more. I don't know. I go, five, six. He goes, 12, and you can't even tell, can you?
12 beers?
It's story time with Rick DiPietro.
That's right. Next time, it's like, have I ever told you about Anders Hedberg? We're going to play that before we get into it. Eli, New Jersey. Good morning, Eli. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Listen, what's going on, Eli?
I want to touch base on that. Not much. Getting here to work. And right before work, I'm glad you guys took my call. Wanted to say that the Gerrit Cole and DeGrom, it's not even debatable. Like, DeGrom is so good. His own team can't hit when he's on. I mean, that's insane. That's next level stuff right there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's got to be something mental. Like, they put so much pressure on themselves when Jacob DeGrom pitches that they just can't, for some reason, score any runs for him.
It's ridiculous.
But shouldn't that work the other way, though? When Jacob DeGrom is pitching, it should take some of the pressure off the lineup just because you know you don't have to manufacture that many runs in order to have a chance to win.
Yeah, you
makes
would think.
No sense.
Yeah, you would think. It'd be like if Pat Mahomes is my quarterback, like there's less pressure on my defense because no Pat Mahomes is going to score 30-some points. But
exactly.
We just have to go out and be decent. Offense, just go out. If you score four runs, you're going to win the game. But they can't even do that.
He drove
pathetic,
in
Dave.
One of the two runs, Dave.
I understand what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It just has to be something mentally now, because I don't know how else you would
with
explain
everybody
it.
Though. With
I don't know
with everybody.
Maybe as a team they put a bunch of pressure on themselves. I can't explain it. I mean, how does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, one point I think with DeGrom, I'm not sure if you guys mentioned it, was that he wasn't even a pitcher, right? Most of his
shortstop,
like, shortstop, right? So I think that, you know, so he's 32, Cole's 30, but he's kind of like a young arm. And I think going back to, you know, when you guys were, that rant that Don went on, kind of had me thinking. And Dave, you said something about, like, good hitting, good pitching, right? Beats good, you know, hitting.
It always
Has
does.
Has the pitching ever been better, right? And I think we always talk about launch angle and this and that, which is definitely a thing, right? People are trying to hit it over the infield. But maybe it's just that the pitching's so good today, right? And so it had me thinking, I know I'm always going to get, you know, always people never agree with me on this, but I'm definitely not a fan of the shift. And not even for the reasons that a lot of people talked about. Bob Costas made a great point that I heard. He said, look, you've got some of the best talent today, some of the most athletic shortstops, third basemen, guys that we've seen, and you're putting them right where the ball is being hit. Why don't you showcase that athleticism, you know, by not having the shift and having them actually run and dive and, you know, do all those things that athletic people do, right? So I just think that the game needs to do more to help the hitters. I know pitchers don't want to hear that, but you guys are throwing 100, and then they take you out, and they put in a guy that throws 101 and a guy that throws 102. I mean, you know, and people say bunt. All right, bunt. You're on first base. Still needs a couple more
hits. Yeah, but good luck, good luck bunting.
Yeah, good luck bunting.
Something that they don't even practice. Good luck bunting something going 101.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I'd be pro shift. Pro.
I hate the shift. Despise it.
I'd be
stand
pro
it.
Like you can't shift. I would like that.
Or just keep everyone in the infield. Like they have everyone on the dirt.
Oh, you can't play like short right field.
Well, there's a couple reasons that it frustrates me. As someone that loves to play the game, like as the player side of it is I hit a seat up the middle, and that should always be a hit. And I got the second baseman standing right behind second base.
And how many times, and on TV you never know where the defense is positioned, and there'll be a ball that's stung, and you're like, there's a base hit. No, there's not. He's standing right there.
Yeah, or if I'm a pitcher, sometimes if I'm a pitcher, I get aggravated too, because what should be a routine double play now isn't, because all of a sudden my shortstop's playing, you know, halfway between short and third, and I got my third baseman playing in, you know, the center of the diamond, so he can't get enough, you know, it's hard for him to turn the double play because he can't get enough on his throw to first base to turn the double play. Or then as the fan, you're like, dude, I'm paying you this much money. You can't hit it to left field. Like, you can't hit it. You got the whole left side of the infield. You can't put a ball to the left side of the infield.
Most of these guys can't. Most of them can't.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.